Okay. All right, I couldn't find my record box. Something else is in the way. So now we're right. We've okay. got it ready. And you have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Bishop J.C. Church. Name of the church is Victory and Truth Ministries, address 485 State Route 4 South, Bucyrus, Ohio. Telephone number there is 419-563-9565. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Chappie's is located in Marion, Ohio. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515, and that is also in Marion, Ohio. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries, location, again, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply sign in your name and number of people in your household. We also have Inspect Ohio, home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. And thanks to all of you who have tuned in to this station to hear our program. Hopefully you will be pleased with what we have today. We will be talking politics. And let me just give you a thought for today. A positive attitude may not solve all your problems, but it annoys enough people to make it worth it. I thought that was kind of funny. To annoy people. My guest today, John Meyer. He is the director of the Board of Elections. How are you today, John?
Not too bad. Busy but good.
Well, good. I'm glad you could join us. And we also have Steve Chafin, assistant law director here in Marion, Ohio. How are you, Steve?
Very good. Thanks, Linda.
Good. Everything worked out well. We're not going to say we miss you, John, because we have you on the phone. And thanks. I'm so glad you're able to.
Well, the last time I was on the phone with y'all, it was from a hospital bed, so at least this time it's from my office.
That's true. So everything turned out well, right?
So far, so good. We'll see. We'll see how the election turns out. I might go back to the hospital bed.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve and I were talking about that, about how it looks so drab about the turnout for the election.
Yeah, if you take our early voting numbers, both in office and by mail, you extrapolate out and kind of do a projection. Just for instance, in November of 2017, we had about 10,500 people vote on Election Day in the polling places. Mm-hmm. This time, if you extrapolate out, we're looking at only about 7,000.
Wow.
Well, and the other thing, John, I was making the distinction in the primary, it even gets worse. I mean, and people don't understand how important it is to vote in the primary.
But the thing I always try to emphasize to people, and sadly we still get callers that don't know the difference between a primary and a general. Think of it this way. The primary is where you pick the candidates out that are possibly going to get into office. Mm-hmm. So the primary, to put it in short, my little saying for it is, you vote on principle in the primary, and then sadly sometimes you have to pick the lesser of the evils in the general. And if you're not proactive in the primary, you have no right to complain about who gets elected in the general because you didn't help pick the candidates.
Right, and we also want to let listeners know that there are contested races.
Yep.
And that's why it's important. I know at least in the state rep races on the Republican side, there are at least two candidates in each of the districts. And then, of course, we have the county prosecutor's race, which is pretty hot and heavy.
It indeed is, and then you also have, of course, at the state level, you've got the U.S. Senate, the 12th District. Mm-hmm. You've got some competition in the 4th, and then, of course, for the full term of the 12th, there's all kinds of competition. It almost looks like a presidential race with, you know, 8, 9, 10 candidates on the Republican side and even 2 or 3 on the Democrat side, so it's interesting.
The other thing that, just point out, Linda pointed out, issue 1, which is the proposal to sort of take away some of the politics out of the redistricting. Redistricting is where every 10 years or so the districts, which are important, are redistributed or remapped. And so this process, if it's passed, which I think it will take some of the politics out of that, as I understand it. John, do you agree with that?
I would say to some extent. It's like everything else. You need to spend some time, read it before you come to the polling place to fully understand it. If you haven't done any homework on issue one and you stand at a voting machine and try and read it, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. So by all means, definitely do your homework and definitely vote the way you believe on it. I can see pros and cons to both sides. So when it comes to issue one, I'm personally an agnostic, and I'm not going to say how I voted, but at least someone is looking at it. It is a considerable problem.
Yeah, and that's probably the best we're going to do right now. I mean, it would be great to take it completely out of the hands of the politicians, but that's probably not going to happen. So this is a step forward. I voted for it. I'm supporting it. I think a lot of common cause, good citizen groups are supporting it, Legal and Voters and some others. Anyway, people have a good reason to go. At least go and consider voting for that. Look it up on the Internet and see
Absolutely.
The pros and cons. But hopefully that will get people to turn out in the primary.
I would agree.
Well, I hope so. We don't want, you know, one party to have all the power like they have right now.
The other point I make about
either way
is that primary elections came about because people were tired of the party bosses making all the decisions.
Right.
And believe it or not, I've been accused of being a party boss. We don't have that much power. People think you do, but
right.
you really don't. But the primaries have evolved because people wanted to be directly involved with picking their nominees for the
mm-hmm.
parties.
Right.
So that's why, I mean, if you really want to get in the process, you've got to come in the primary and decide which party you're going to participate in.
Right.
But even if you don't want to say you're a Democrat, Republican, or a Green, you can still vote issues. We don't have any levies on the ballot in the primary, but we do have issue one.
Okay, is that the only issue on the ballot this year?
I think so, John.
That is. There's no other local issues, taxes, or levies. So at this point, you shouldn't have a hard time doing your homework for all the issues or all the different things on the ballot because there's only one other than candidate races.
What happened to the marijuana issue?
Not on the ballot till apparently this fall or sometime later.
We'll see. Oh, okay. If they get enough signatures, I don't know.
Right.
Does that also have to do with the medicinal plant that they were going to bring here?
No, that passed. There's some delay in getting the implementation. I haven't followed it as closely as I probably should have, but it's passed. It's law now.
Pass?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they've already issued some licenses and some physicians to start prescribing, but there's no dispensaries. That's
okay.
the big hang-up, I
okay.
think, is there was supposed to be so many people applying for these dispensary licenses and go and get them set up, but apparently there's some delay on that.
Okay. All right. So one issue on the ballot. John, what do you think is the problem with the turnout of voters?
I think in general, if there's not a lot of local taxes, if there's not that final general race, I think actually between the lack of taxes and the lack of people's understanding of how a primary differs and yet is very important compared to a general, it's almost like when we stop teaching civics class and social studies class at school, people don't even understand the two election cycles a year, what they mean and how they differ from year to year between the different offices that are on the ballot and the different things that are up. A lot of folks, sadly, only know when it's a presidential year, and that's sometimes the only time they come out to vote.
Yeah, the other thing is we've been seeing increasingly over the years of lack of participation. People don't want to affiliate with a party.
Mm-hmm.
There are more and more people saying they want to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the parties are dirty, but you got to look at the history of political parties in this country. They developed for a reason. They're not in the Constitution. There was no law passed saying you have to have political parties.
Remember in Washington's farewell address, he warned against political parties,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And also, I think a lot of people in some ways are seeing through the parties that it's a false argument. They're not really on different sides. They want government that works for the people, not that it works for itself. And one of my favorite Facebook memes about politics, you can ignore politics, but that doesn't mean it's going to ignore you.
That's a good
Absolutely.
Point. That's a good point.
And I'm glad we're doing this show. Get out and vote. Those of you who are listening, if you have friends, children, loved ones, encourage them to be a part of the system.
And by the way, Linda, they get to vote tonight till 7.
All this week.
All this week, and they'll be open on Saturday and Sunday. okay. this weekend. So,
to quote the hours, and it's not that I haven't many times before, Linda, but I can give you
well,
this by heart.
I'm doing it.
This week, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., this mm-hmm. Saturday, 8 to 4, Sunday, 1 to 5, and even on Monday, 8 to 2, that's here at the Board of Elections office at 222 West Center in the County Building next to the Palace Theater.
And all day on May 8th from 7 to 7:30.
At every polling place.
Every polling place. And we make it easy to vote. And we'll have lots of people there to help you vote. And like John said, there's not that many issues on one issue and some candidates. So we'll have sample ballots at the table. You can go online and download your sample ballot to see what races you want to vote for and take some time to research the candidates.
Mm-hmm. And FYI, I know it's sometimes hard if you're a commuter like I have always been to get back into town in time to vote on Election Day, and sometimes the polling places at the peak hours of rush hour in the morning and evening can be long. Just FYI, even when our presidential race was on and the voting in the office here was heavy, the wait was never more than 15 minutes, and I have to tell you, during this election cycle, there is no wait. You come in, you immediately vote, and if you know what you want to vote on the machines in here, even on a paper ballot, you're in and out within 4 to 5 minutes, literally.
And yeah, the other thing I want to bring up, I don't want to shame people, but the fact is, if you don't vote, we know you didn't vote. It's public record. So, you know, I'm encouraging people to vote. I just think it's your civic responsibility. And like we were talking, Linda, the more people vote, the more it sends a signal that they care about their country and their city and their community.
Yes,
the less they vote,
so.
The more it says, I don't care.
Right.
I don't believe in democracy.
Right.
I don't want to be part of the system, you know.
Right, right.
But that's a very cynical approach to take. And we need to be positive and proactive.
Exactly, and there's the other cynical approach, and I'll tell you what I told my daughter when she turned 18 and entered the working world and entered the voting world. I said, look, you pay for the right, quote-unquote, through taxation to vote, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, if you don't vote, you can't complain, so you better hurry up and get in there. And so far, it's worked.
Yeah,
here's the other point I want to make is you start voting today if you're 18 or young, any or whatever age you are. Mm-hmm. You're likely to vote again. It becomes a mm-hmm. habit. It's a learned behavior. So start voting, vote next, you know, vote today, vote tomorrow, vote until the polls close on Tuesday, and then vote again. We're going to have a special in August for the 12th Congressional in certain parts of Marion County,
right?
And then again in November. And then next year we'll have city elections. So every year there's an election.
Just to explain, in one of our poll worker classes, in one of our political meetings, rather, there was a candidate there that's running for the 12th, and he tried to explain, but let me explain why there's so many races. You have to understand that the 12th congressional district where Mr. T. Berry was in office and he resigned, there's going to be a separate race, both a primary and a general, for his unexpired term, basically from August to the end of December, and then a separate race for his new term, starting what will be for that office in January on the next 4 years, or, 2 years. So the point here is that you're going to vote two races this election in May, mm-hmm. one for the candidates that are running for the primary for the unexpired term, just those few months,
right.
and one for the candidates for next year and beyond for the full term. So mm-hmm. August is the general election between the different partisan candidates that get selected in the primary for those few months, and then in November you vote again for the office for who's going to hold it for the next couple of years.
Right.
And that's could be some crazy results because we have one guy that didn't file for both races, or I think on both sides there's a guy that didn't file. So a guy could get elected or nominated in the primary and not also be the guy running in August. So it could be real bizarre. And then you got, like John said, I think we've got 6 on the Democrat side. How many of you guys got on the Republican side?
There's 10 in the first primary for the unexpired and 11 for the full-term primary. And by the way, the folks that vote on the 12th in Marion County, those are only the 11 southeastern precincts. And those two sets of precincts, there's 5 that vote at Cornerstone Church, 6 that vote at Dayspring Church. So unless you're in one of those precincts, you won't see this race.
Oh.
But for those of you that do see it, it's going to look kind of odd compared to anything you've seen before, so we want to explain what that is.
You might want to go online, go ahead and check that out before.
Yes.
That's mainly Waldo, Prospect area, some parts of Richland Township, I think, right? And some
Correct.
Parts of Pleasant Township, yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely. Get out and vote, those who are listening, and spread the news, because, like, next Tuesday is a week from today.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, it's very important.
We're having a long day, 12, 13-hour day, sometimes
longer. 14, 15.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right,
right. But, you know, even though we're saying, you know, if you don't vote, be quiet, you know, don't complain. But what else do you think we could do to invigorate people to get out to vote?
Or even how many people are truly happy with government?
Oh, I guess that's a big question, huh?
And that goes for every side of the aisle and those in between. If you're perfectly happy, don't vote. But I'll bet nobody's perfectly happy. So the only thing you can do is vote. And how many countries in the world don't we have the right to vote? People take it for granted here and don't use it.
And I think the other thing is that people need to educate themselves a little bit. We don't do a good job. John mentioned we don't do civics in school anymore. Mm-hmm. Kids, I asked a young person the other day, do you watch TV? How do you get your information? They don't watch TV. They get it through Facebook or social media. And that's not always giving you enough information. You got to be a proactive citizen. The people that founded the country were hopeful that we would read and talk and educate ourselves about the issues.
Right.
And then if you know the issues, if you're engaged, you're going to want to vote. You're going to want to go to meetings, and you're going to want to write letters and get on the radio and stuff like that. You know, I've been active since I was 14. It just it catches you, you know, and you just keep doing it. So I would encourage everybody to get inspired to get involved.
Right. Do you think young people are more absorbed in what they're interested in instead of what their parents may be interested in, or even their grandparents? I think it's gone like a couple generations back, right? You think?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just don't see. I mean, I was kind of, John's not going to like this, but I was kind of encouraged by the young people that were taking a position in the gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stood up and started taking notice about some of these issues. So whatever the issue is that affects you, that you're concerned about, read up on it, get involved, and voting is just one of the minimal responsibilities we have.
Right.
Well,
right.
And let me ask you this. Okay, let's talk about positive reason to get people to the polls. So let's go with, and Steve, you give the counterpart. On the conservative side of the aisle, I'm going to recommend a conservative author, by a good fellow by the name of Mark Levin, and one of his great books, Liberty and Tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great book that goes into, well, look, if we didn't have the government we have, this is what you would end up with. And when you don't have the right to vote, this is what you end up with. And this is why it's important what we have. But again, it's a very conservative book with a conservative angle. So, Steve, what might you recommend from the quote-unquote liberal side of the aisle or Democrat side of the aisle to be that rough equivalent?
I've got a great one. Last night, just happened to accidentally come on a program on Netflix, which mm-hmm. young people watch. It was called Bobby Kennedy for President. Now, I know you're not a big Kennedy fan, but Bobby Kennedy was...
Now, wait a minute. If JFK were president today, he'd be a Republican, so I'm not so harsh against all the Kennedys.
Well, Bobby Kennedy was you know, his brother plus. He was an inspirational figure for so many people in this country, and he reached out to the poor, the oppressed, you know, the working people in this country, and ignited, and had he not been assassinated, he'd have beat Nixon, and we'd had a whole different country. So I recommend watching the show Bobby Kennedy for President. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take that long. It's like three episodes. It's very inspirational.
Excellent. And another one, if you want to talk about that, it was an old HBO series, but you can catch it on most streaming libraries now. John Adams.
Yep. That's John great, too. Adams. I love that.
One of my favorite founding fathers.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And I hope, you know, some of you who are listening, hopefully you're getting somewhat inspired. Steve is, you know, he's always motivated. And you know John is. You know how he is. So hey, he's very passionate about this. They both are. And hopefully that, you know, you can catch some of that fire that's burning over the air today, right?
That's right.
Indeed.
Get out and vote. Get out and vote. That's the message that we want to put forth today. Get out and vote.
And I was talking, Linda, about earlier about, you know, some of the struggles. People don't realize when this country was founded, not everybody could vote. You had to be a property owner. There were certain other requirements.
Yeah. Right.
Then over the years, we've expanded it. So now you don't have to be a property owner. You can be a tenant, you know. Women couldn't vote for the first 100 years.
Mm.
African Americans couldn't vote until after the Civil War.
Mm.
Young people couldn't vote until 1972. I was the first, turned 18 in 1972, the first time I could vote, but you had to be 21 before. So, and there's other issues about registration. Some states are now enacting automatic voter registration when you get your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
There's an issue about voter ID in some states. So there's a lot of obstacles that we've overcome. And to think about that and the fight that people have had to, you know, endure to get the right to vote, and like John's mentioned, other countries that, elections are a fraud.
Right.
They recently had an election in Russia, and Putin got like 90% of the vote or something. So, That doesn't happen in this country. John and I assure you, our elections are fair and free and very nonpartisan. We do our best to make sure that there's no question about the legitimacy of how our elections are conducted. So,
and especially, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about hacking elections, and I can assure you, as an old IT person entered into the elections field, there's a term we call air gap, which means our voting machines and the one computer that tabulates our election and draws up our ballot never touches a network, let alone the internet.
Right.
So unless a KGB agent walks in my back room when I'm not here, trust me, our elections are pure and the tabulations are accurate.
And everything's done on a bipartisan basis.
Yes.
There's a Democrat and a Republican every step of the line so that we check and balance each other. It's not that we are trying to find fault with each other. Just we want to make sure that we're above any kind of question.
And, you know, a lot of people think that once they've been in trouble with the law that they may not have the right to vote anymore. Maybe they've been to jail.
No.
Maybe they've been to prison.
No.
And would you address some of those myths?
Well,
then,
you have to be
true?
Convicted of a felony, and you also have to be incarcerated. So if you're convicted of a felony and incarcerated, that information is sent to the Board of Elections, mm-hmm. and you're no longer eligible. Once you're no longer incarcerated, you can still vote. John, I don't know if we have a process of actually reinstating people. I think as long as they come into the polls or the board and show that they're not incarcerated, they're allowed to vote, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing that even if you are a convicted felon, you can run for office, you just can't take office.
What?
Yeah.
Another weird restriction is if you're a convicted felon, you cannot be a poll worker even after you're done being incarcerated.
Well, you could probably still apply to have your record expunged.
Yes.
That might make it work. And a lot of people do get their record expunged. So just because you've had a problem in the past, it's not going to prevent you from voting if mm-hmm. follow the regulations. So
I've heard so many people say, "Well, I can't vote. I had a felony. I can't vote. I've been to prison." You know,
well, come into the board. We'll figure it out. You know?
All right, that's good.
As long as you're not in
news.
Prison, you obviously can't vote if you're in prison.
That's good news, and that could be some of the.
Well, another interesting point is even if you're incarcerated but still pending trial, so to speak, you still have the right to vote too.
That's an interesting point. Do we ever get absentee applications from any of the
places? We absolutely do. In fact, I send a whole set of paperwork out to Dale at the multi-county jail every election cycle and say, okay, and we do get a few in.
Yeah.
Would you say that again? The condition of
if they're not if they're not convicted, if they're just under indictment, you mean, mm-hmm. John?
And yes, if they're going through
pending,
trial, et cetera.
Okay, they have to be convicted. So if they're just in jail on bond or not on bond or waiting, they can still apply. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
I didn't know that either.
Absolutely.
Wow. Good thing you're on here today, John.
Yeah.
I try.
We need that information out there. Maybe, you know, when people know better, they can do better.
Well, knowledge is power, and
yes,
everybody should have some of that.
Yes, and they, you know, maybe that has kept a lot of people from even participating.
It's almost an ironic thing when you think about we are literally living in the information age, but today there's so much information you have to work to sift through it to find the real information. You know what I mean? The real mm-hmm. data, the real
news. That's the danger of it. It's great. When the internet was first around, 20, 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
everybody thought, this will be great. You know, and you watch TV, you got 900 channels. 906 of them are terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And
infomercial.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Why
don't
we? Why aren't we enlightened with art and philosophy and culture? And you know, I watch Food Channel, so there are some and Home Improvement, so there are some educational things. But so much junk is, and the same with the internet. Most of it's junk.
How can we get that on the ballot?
What's that?
The high prices of cable TV.
Yeah, I don't know. You can almost
call the PUCO maybe.
Or the FCC.
Oh, okay.
At one time, the radio waves, which are regulated, the airwaves were regulated, and there was responsibility to put on so much educational mm-hmm. programming every so often.
Right.
And it's just not being followed anymore. Too much.
Closed-circuit broadcasting heavily undermined that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, there's a lot we could do, but, you know, people have to participate.
Right,
they
got
to get involved. They got to not just vote. They got to know the issues, talk to their representatives, and share their views.
There is more to your civic duty than paying your taxes, and the good news is you actually, in this country, can influence how government works, unlike many.
And some of those issues are so, what you call, long-winded.
Yes.
You know, and it takes you 5-10 minutes to even cipher through it to find out what it's about. And I think I heard you, John, make some type of suggestion where that is concerned, didn't you?
Exactly. In fact, most of the time when there's large state issues, they're posted online at the Secretary of State's website. We have links to them from our website. If you want to go read the actual verbiage, there's always pro and con advocacy groups that talk about these issues online and on the news. But by all means, when it comes to issues, not just tax levies, but issues, mm-hmm. do your homework before you get to the polling place. Because of that type of language, Linda, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. If you just try to read the issue while you're at the polls, your odds are not understand it correctly, you'll not understand the implications of it,
right.
and you may end up timing out your voting machine and having to get a new card cut because it's taken so long for you to read it.
Right, or might not even take the time and just mark something.
Yeah, scary.
You know, I'm serious.
True,
you know,
I understand.
People are always in a hurry. You know, they
yeah.
want to pop in and pop out,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
And what is this long-winded, you know, piece, this mm-hmm. issue here?
Yeah,
so.
And this issue is not partisan, I don't, to my
no.
knowledge. I haven't
I would
heard,
say it's
so
bipartisan.
Okay.
That's
okay.
why people probably haven't heard that much about it. You know, there's no,
right.
I
yeah, there's
see,
an argument.
Nothing on TV okay. about it. So.
All right. So
agreed.
We have... local candidates, would you
we do.
Like to name some?
Well, on
for?
Our side, we all the only really contested races we have, the biggest one, I guess, is the gubernatorial, the governor's position. We have Rich Cordray, who's former attorney general, who's running. And then we have a couple other candidates, Dennis Kucinich, who was a former congressman, mayor of Cleveland, mm-hmm. Bill O'Neill, who was former Supreme Court justice, and a few others. Probably it'll come down to Rich Cordray and Dennis Kucinich who will win that.
Okay.
And then we have some local candidates, but I don't think any of them are contested other than that 12th down there in the southern part of Marion County. There's a guy named Danny O'Connor, who's the recorder from Franklin County, and Zach Scott, who's a former sheriff of Franklin County. I think there was two of the front runners. A guy named John Russell, who's also pretty popular down in Franklin County. So. That'll be a fun race to watch.
Okay.
John's got more competitive races on his side.
As I say, the governor's race is multifaceted, although the two big candidate groups, you've got the DeWine camp, you've got the Mary Taylor camp. As far as the 12th, as I mentioned, it's a 10-way race, basically, so nobody's ever going to get bored there on the Republican side. The big race we have locally, of course, is the prosecutor race, the quote-unquote appointee incumbent, Reg Rogan, versus Jennifer Kroski, the challenger. And then, of course, they're going to face Jeff Ratliff in the actual general this fall mm-hmm. as a Democrat. So that if you drive around town, you will mostly, at least in my experience, see signs for that race.
Mm-hmm.
And you might see signs for the 86th Congressional District race, which Tracy Richardson, and the sadly part is I forget the name of the other contestant in that race.
Matt Sammons. His yard signs are terrible.
Yeah, but those are the two big ones as far as anywhere near local candidates as far as the Republican side goes. Most of the rest, and Democrats as well, are courtesy votes. What you might see is there's maybe, three contested races on the Republican Central Committee and maybe the same Steve for the Democrat side?
I think we have two.
Yeah, so there's very few.
Okay, so what about on a national level? That may affect us, I'm sure.
Well, we have Sherrod Brown as our candidate for re-election to the Senate. He doesn't have an opponent in the primary, so but we appreciate the complimentary votes for him.
Right.
On their side, you got three guys running, four people running for the Senate?
You can't tell them to vote.
Four, and I can't, and sadly enough, I can't name their names right off the
top. Renacy is one of them, and I can't remember the other guys.
Renacy?
Yeah.
Yep, Jim Renacy.
He'll probably win that. He's got more name ID than the other ones, I think.
So is someone in the governor's position now?
Well, yeah.
Where's Kasich?
He's still the governor.
Oh, okay. Still there.
He's on his way out.
Right?
If the Republicans don't boot him out before the end of the year.
It would be nice. Many of us would like that, yes.
He's been so quiet lately.
He's been on
the news.
Yeah.
It's just most people are ignoring him, especially.
I think he's looking at presidential again. Wasn't he out in Iowa?
Yes, in 2020. But then again, you know, people have been hospitalized for such statements, too. I'll say it that way.
That ain't right.
No, but, you know, I'll say it. So.
Well, these congressional races are important. We've talked about the 12th. There is a race in the 4th. Mr. Jordan is running again. I don't think he has a primary opponent, but we have a couple.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
He does. Okay. They're not. They don't have a chance, but he's got one.
Right. Well, we've got a couple candidates. In fact, tomorrow night, Janet Garrett, who's probably the leading Democratic candidate against Mr. Jordan, will be here in town if anybody wants to come see her. 7:30 at the Democratic Party meeting.
Okay. All right. So is that all that's going on the national level?
Well, there's always stuff going on. How much the elections are going to affect that right this year, I don't know, other than the U.S. Senate race. Now, you know, there's talk about the Democrats taking control of the U.S. Congress.
Of course,
in my mind, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think I just saw a statistic today. There's like something like 21 seats that are in play, with the Democrats winning about 200 seats pretty easily this year.
So, if
we could even win 18 of those 21, we could take over the House. What that might mean is what happens is the agenda kind of gets shifted when the parties change. If you notice what happened when the Democrats were in power back in 2006, 2007, and 2008, the issues were health care, trying to get money back into the economy through public service, jobs, and now the issues are tax cuts and let's cut regulations so that corporations can make all this great money so it'll trickle down to us. I ain't got my trickle down yet.
Well, I hate to say it, but in the 80s I absolutely did. So I'm ready for more of that.
What did you get in the 80s?
What's that?
Trickle down.
Oh, you got a trickle down effect?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the IT world, and trust me, we did quite well, and we're starting to do quite well again in the IT world. So deregulation, let capitalism be capitalism, true capitalism, not crony capitalism, let me be clear. And when you provide a good product and a good service for a good price, if you build it right, you'll get them to come, and they'll keep coming back, and that serves the public. That serves the company. For instance, what has government innovated? The Internet started out as DARPANET, but it became what it is because of private enterprise. The iPhone, everybody that walks around with a smartphone today, government didn't invent those. Private industry did.
Right.
And all the apps that you run and all that useful information you get, I guarantee you it's not a government app. It's a private app. It's somebody said, hey, I have an idea. They made a great product. They sold it. People liked it. They employ people. They get to have money for houses, cars, educating their kids, and buying, you know, things that they need. So I'm all about capitalism, because if you look at the history of the world, true capitalism has raised more people out of poverty than any other form of economic endeavor or government.
I'm also happy that the space program, which is a government investment, has really produced a lot of good things for most people.
Granted, there.
Some other very good government programs, the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, which created electricity for so many people in rural Appalachia and so forth. We've had so many other good programs. The National Highway System, you get on the freeways, you can
go
anywhere in this country. So,
John,
I understand your point, but I think there's got to be a better balance.
And I can't remember the name of FDR's program, but we have things like the Hoover Dam to thank for it. Help me out, Steve.
It was the Public Works Administration.
That's it, yeah. PWA.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And my grandfather was involved with building bridges back, and there's still most of those bridges are standing because they were good quality work.
Yep.
Wow.
So public infrastructure is, John's right, there's a lot of private entrepreneurship that helps spur this country, but you need public investment. You need roads and bridges and water systems and sewer systems and police and fire and health systems. All these things help build the infrastructure, and that's what allows the private sector then to build upon that.
But remember, too, again, let's go back to JFK and let's go back to Reagan. One of the big things they had in common, if you want to raise revenues, you lower taxes, you shrink government, and you actually raise revenues. If you keep raising taxes, you strangle the economy, and you lower revenue.
Well, again, there's got to be a balance, John.
We kind of teetered the last 8 years too far the one way, and now that we're coming back the other, I think if, again, you watch the revenue numbers, you're going to see them shoot up just like they did in the 80s.
Well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
And it lasted a long time then.
Unfortunately, John, right now, and I'm not a supply sider or trickle down at all, but if you don't cut spending, and right now you guys
don't want to talk about
it now because you're in power.
I totally agree.
You know, when you put the Democrats in charge, that's all we're going to hear. Democrats are tax and spend, blah, blah, blah.
I don't disagree at all. That's why I was very happy to see Mr. Ryan resign, and I hope Mr. McConnell joins him very soon.
Well, we'll help him. We'll help. We'd love to help
McConnell. I'll actually take the help.
That'd be great if he was moved out the way. Woo-woo.
Yeah.
That's just personal.
We'll see how it goes. We're pretty optimistic about getting some things done this fall. But again, people got to go vote.
Why did Ryan step down? Anyone know the real reason?
Do you believe the public reason or think there was a private reason? Me, I'm not going to have any. I'm going to get a guess. But of course, the public reason was I want to spend more time with my family and my kids only grew up once. However,
do you really want to spend time with Trump? Come on now.
I do.
When you're in a meeting and Trump says, okay, we're going to do the deal on DACA. So then you try to get the deal on DACA. You come to the next day, no, we're not doing no deal on DACA. I mean, guys, he's unreasonable.
How you bargain and negotiate. Thank you, North and South Korea. Now that we dealt with strength, with the little dictator, we're going to have peace.
Okay, John, we'll see.
Yeah, but you know, Dennis Rodman said he has something to do with that. I did see that before I left home.
I still have a picture on my wall of Reagan's speech. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And guess what? It came down.
The thing was collapsing at that point. You know why it collapsed? Because they were spending so much money on the military. And I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we had to spend a lot of money, too, and that hurt our economy. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of factors in play, John. It's not just a simple issue.
True, I understand. But the point is, I would say still, from a supply-sider, pure capitalistic standpoint, that general citizenry benefits more than the social welfare state. You're right. There has to be a balance. And we're going to argue that forever. The good news is we have the right to argue it.
Well, even the most conservative people are going to agree. We need some kind of safety net.
People in the street. Yeah, you know? I agree. Yeah. That how you deliver the safety net and the term of it, that's a different issue. But yeah,
right.
We are a civilized society, so to speak. Absolutely. Well,
hopefully we won't get down into the trenches, but it's getting pretty bad now.
So what about those that caravan that's on the border that can't get crossed?
As I understand, what's that about? I was reading like 80% of them had applied for asylum, political asylum. They were refugees from Nicaragua or Guatemala or wherever.
Okay.
And 80% of them have been granted asylum status. And that's why they were coming.
Okay.
I don't know the asylum process, how it works. You got to apply and it has to be hearing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to get in so they could pursue their asylum status,
right.
But Trump's basically said he doesn't want him in. He doesn't want anybody in. He said,
"Well, he wants them in legally, not illegally."
Well, there's a process, John.
That's right.
To my understanding, they had applied for that.
Absolutely.
Granted. So I don't know why we're keeping them out. To tell you the truth.
Well, probably we didn't grant it for some of them.
That's possible.
Probably didn't. You know, I would not doubt that at all.
But it's certainly a political issue now, and the whole issue of immigration is going to be hotbed. I hope
you bet it is.
Get too crazy. We ought to have a intelligent discussion about the issue. Mm-hmm. We're never going to completely tell people they can't.
Well, maybe that, Steve, is the next show. We did the gun control when I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do immigration, I'm not sure where I'll be, but I'll be there.
We can talk about that.
Sure. Next show, immigration. I'm writing it down.
Well, it'd be nice to get some people who are affected by the policies of the Trump
on both sides. Yeah. Legal immigrants that oppose illegal immigration, and there's lots of those out there, too.
Right.
Well, understanding this, because of some of the immigration cutbacks now, is that some of the crops are going to rot in the field. Some of the prices are going to go up because we can't.
Well, once the prices get high enough, they'll be able to pay the wage that people are willing to go do the work.
Well, that's a possibility, but in the meantime, how many people suffer? That's what you got to decide, right?
Well, in a capitalist society, somebody's going to jump in and fill that need, trust me. That's what capitalism's about.
And that's why you have to have cops on the beat to kind of keep the rough edges from being too rough. You gotta
As the playing field's level and not tilted toward one side, I'll agree with that.
So John, how do you feel about the Mueller investigation against our
president? He probably wants him fired.
Well, yeah, how long do we wait?
How long did we let that crazy guy go after Clinton? What was his name?
Starr? I agree with that, too.
He went on like 8 years. He started
eight
out...
Which
years?
Is nuts. No, it wasn't that long. It was excessive.
Well, it was pretty much the entire Clinton presidency. He started out with the Whitewater, which was some real estate deal the Clintons allegedly had done something crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it expanded and it ended up just being the thing about Monica, which was never on his radar screen in the beginning.
Agreed. And I don't disagree. That's a waste of the public's money, and that's a distraction from governing.
I'm not saying all of Trump's personal affairs should be under the microscope, but the original investigation was, did he have
collude with the Russians?
With the Russians in the election. We know for a fact the Russians were involved or attempted to be involved.
Through Facebook.
We know there's other information.
Not through the Republican Party, through the Democrat Party.
John, come on.
Hillary's campaign paid us $6 million for the dossier to get the whole thing started.
Actually, the Republicans started that, and she
that is a fallacy. That's been proven incorrect.
Yeah.
I'll let you have your opinions, but not your own facts.
Well, John, every party does political opposition research.
I don't disagree, but in this case, we don't take it to the NSA and the FISA courts and have them actually wiretap an American citizen because of it. That's worse than Nixon, the Watergate tapes, and the 18 minutes ever was. Okay. G. Gordon Liddy is turning over in his grave right now.
I heard we were already tapped. All of our information.
Pretty much. Why do you think the NSA built a big data center in Utah? Trust me, it's not just metadata.
I do hope that we get the investigation wound up fairly soon because
I agree.
It's just kind of drowning on. People are losing interest. So let's go ahead and get it done and deliver the product. We don't have the votes to do anything about it right now. So, but let people talk about it, and then later, if there's enough evidence to support, I mean. Manafort's going to have to go to trial, and there's maybe another guy or two the lawyer's going to possibly go to trial.
Right.
So we'll see how those turn out. Let the process work.
Yeah, well, we can't stop that, I don't think.
No, no. Well, they're trying to. There's people on the Republican side that want to basically stop the investigation.
Right.
Trump wants to pardon everybody. That's not a fair process.
Well, how many pardons did Obama issue before he left office?
I don't know.
Several hundred.
Well, presidents always do that. They always
not
pardon.
That many.
8 years.
Yeah, every president pardons people. And every governor pardons people. Pardon's part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Okay.
We'll
agree to disagree on that one, but I hear you.
All right.
Yeah, I guess we hear each
immigration
other.
Next. Watch out. We got to get through this election first.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing about it is, when you're thinking about 8 years ago and back in 08 and 09, I mean, your memory, unless you have all these facts in front of you, it kind of escapes you. Well, what actually went on and how it went on and
actually,
who did what.
What went on during the Obama era is he did a lot of enforcement. I remember being in Columbus and people were afraid to go out to the corner fruit markets and stuff and sell their stuff because ICE would be there raiding them. So he actually did a lot.
Wait a second. That's because they're illegal immigrants. They're already criminals.
What I'm saying is that, you can't say that Obama was weak on immigration enforcement. He was very strong. In fact,
we'll agree to disagree on that one, too, because when the border guards were told, you will not intercept, you will not intercede, and they were, and the border guard union themselves has said so. So I hear you, but on one hand, the gerrymandered statistics prove your point. But the people guarding the border listen to their testimony, and they would say that, yes, he was lax.
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence on each side, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, of course. It's going to be like that. We have a new president now, so the other one's gone. And
yep.
Hey,
one thing is Trump has kind of used it a lot to gain political strength. I mean, he's railed on the immigrants a lot and said some pretty foul things. So.
Right.
Obama said some foul things about conservatives, so okay, and policemen. He acted stupidly, but he had to retract that one, didn't he?
Stupid is a bad
word. Yeah, he called the policeman stupid the very first time he had the beer something.
Another prominent politician calling a police officer stupid. It was our governor, I believe.
Well, I'm not going to argue on that one. I'll agree with you.
We should never disrespect the police.
Amen.
In that service.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do and doing it.
Clearly, almost all of them do. There's occasionally a bad egg in every batch of.
There's been a lot of bad eggs,
but we have people that watch them and we investigations, and so there's a process.
Right, but we have a pretty decent police force.
We have
here,
a very good
and
police
and I thank
force.
God for that. You know.
Yep.
They're not running around killing people just for no reason.
No.
just because they pull
them
over.
Most of them are very professional and polite. And if you meet them and interact with them, you'll see that.
I thank God for that. Marion's pretty good. Our mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good mayor.
You like our mayor? He's going to run for re-election next year, so.
Well, I guess.
I think. That's what I understand.
Yeah, I guess. Well, believe it or not, John, we're out of time, and hopefully you enjoyed being on. We enjoyed having you. And
I appreciate it. I've got to get back to work, so I'm going to go ahead and bow out. And remember, it's May 8th, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 7 polling places in Marion, and you can vote here in the office, 222 West Center, in the county building from 8 to 7 this week, 8 to 4 Saturday, 1 to 5 Sunday, and 8 to 2 on Monday.
Go vote. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Steve, I thank you
for
being on the show.
Yeah, hold it together. I didn't think we was going to do it, you got to have some interaction. It wouldn't be any fun, If we just, you and me, we could still have an interaction, but it's kind of better because John likes to give it to me,
Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People. We're still talking and we're still on the air, but that's okay. Everything was done decently and in order.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for all the...